On winter days, when she was a child, Jane's grandmother told her, they'd skate on the canal, along 20 miles of it frozen solid near their house. Back in the 1850s, before the railroad finally won out against it, the canal was how you got clean-burning anthracite coal from the mines of central Pennsylvania to big city markets. It would be loaded on shallow draft boats, maybe 15 tons of it at a time, then towed down the canal that ran alongside the north branch of the Susquehanna River by mules on the adjacent towpath. $1 a ton, you could figure, from Wilkes-Barre, in the heart of anthracite country, to Philadelphia. Making the boats and repairing them was its own little industry. And since the 1830s, a key center of it was Espy, a town of a few hundred drawn out along the north bank of the canal, home to lock tenders and canal maintenance workers, as well as a tannery, a pottery, and a brickyard. From early spring, when the ice melted, until late fall, according to a 1936 memoir, the locals set the tempo of their lives to the tireless plodding hoofbeats of the mules. Boys in town looked with envy at those their own age driving the mules or else lolling on the decks of passing boats. Espy, tucked away in mountainous ridge country that on topographic maps looks crumpled and crinkled, declined as the 19th century wore on. But it still carried some traffic in 1893 when Jane's grandmother, Jenny Brees Robeson, and her husband, James Boyd Robeson, bought a house on the north side of the main road running beside the canal. Both were central Pennsylvania natives of familiar Scots, Northern Irish, and English stock. They had four sons, another died when young, and four daughters. One of them was Bess Mary, or Bessie, born in 1879. She would become the mother of Jane Jacobs and live for 101 years. Bess's father, Boyd, Jane's grandfather, was the son of a local merchant. Born in the adjacent, more substantial town of Bloomsburg, he attended Lafayette College and later fit in some legal studies. After the attack on Fort Sumter that launched the Civil War, he enlisted almost immediately and was wounded in the hand at the Second Battle of Bull Run. "For purpose of labor," he wrote home, "my finger is just as useless as if it were cut off." In a second stint of service in 1864, now an officer, Boyd was captured by Confederate guerrillas and held in Libby Prison, a brick tobacco warehouse in Richmond, into which Union officers, 1,000 of them at a time, were infamously crowded. After the war, he returned to Bloomsburg, set up a law practice, and married Jenny Brees, a schoolteacher. For a few years, he moved his young family to a place in the country, Esther Furness Farm, a few miles outside of town. Then it was back to Bloomsburg, involvement in local politics, and finally, the fine house in Espy. In the years Bessie was growing up, Captain J. Boyd Robeson, lawyer, landowner, war veteran, member of the Presbyterian Church, former candidate for Congress on the Greenback ticket, Knight Templar of the Masons, was a notable public figure. In 1895, Bessie, 16, enrolled in the Teachers College in Bloomsburg, about 2 miles up the road from the family home in Espy. Perhaps close enough, in those years before the trolley went in, for her to walk to school. There were dorms on campus, but she didn't live in one. Bloomsburg, population 7,000, was where her father had grown up and where he maintained his legal practice. Its town center of 2- and 3-story brick commercial buildings along Main Street, plus a sprinkling of late Victorian Romanesque civic structures, together lent it an air of gentility and solidity evident even today.